The previous message before that was the message of the law. That's what Moses was given. He was given the message of the law. The apostles are receiving the message of grace and mercy to the people by seeing how our Lord healed people. Our Lord had compassion on the crowd when the multitude swarmed around him. He didn't have the law. He was there to fulfill that law. He was there to be our substitute in fulfilling that law. And this is what he was teaching his apostles. This is what Peter was learning. These are things that don't come natural to men. The message that was given to Moses was a message of burden, a message of condemnation. For none but one could fulfill that message. None but one could fulfill the law. All but one came up short of that very thing. This is the message that comforts God's people. Christ came to save sinners. This is the manna from heaven that is sweeter than honey, as it is spoken of in scriptures. Christ came to save sinners. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 10, and we will once again take a look into our Savior's teaching and how he teaches his disciples what they will be facing as they go about their work that God has given them to do. And do not let us forget, we live in a world of darkness, the darkness of the truth. Everybody walks around in the sunshine. We can see the things outside before us, but many, and we were just once just like this, many do not see the truth of who God is. Many do not see the truth of who our great Lord and Savior is. There was a time when I did not see that. There was a time when each and every one of you could not see that. We live in a world of darkness, a world blinded to the truths of the gospel, the world blinded to the truths of God. We live in a world that hates those truths, a world who would rather take those truths and throw them out and make truths of their own. They hate the truths of total depravity. How often we have spoken of this very subject and people have said, no, that's not me. I've got a little spark in me of goodness. How often have we mentioned the woman and her grandchild that left this room saying, I'm not a sinner like that. The world hates the truths of unconditional election. God chose a people. God the Father gave God the Son a people before the world was. Before anybody had any chance to do anything. He speaks of two children, twin boys who were born in their mother's womb, and he had made that choice to love one and to hate the other before they were ever even born, before they ever had a chance to do evil or good. So that election might stand. The world hates the truths of God when it comes to limited atonement. They would rather believe that John 3:16 means the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But they would also rather forget and ignore in John 17 where our Lord says, I pray for the world, I pray for those that thou hast given me, not for the world. The world hates the truths of irresistible grace. We come to our Lord willingly, but in the day of his power, he makes us willing. Because by our nature, we cannot come to the Lord. Our nature is enmity with God. We are born that way. We are born in sin, dead in trespasses and sin. And the world hates to hear that. They will not have it. They hate to hear the truths of perseverance in the saints. Well, if you don't start doing this, you're going to go to hell anyway, even though God died for you, because you've turned against him. You can die, you can go to hell because you left God. They want to ignore where it says nothing. God's word says nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. That's a hope and staple that we have to have. That's the only thing we can stand on. Nothing will ever separate me from the love that God has in me and his son, Jesus Christ. Don Fortner wrote this. He says, God's servants in this world are sheep in the midst of wolves, needing wisdom, needing grace and strength that only God can give them to do his will. In these verses of Scripture, our Lord Jesus Christ gives his servants words of instruction to sustain and to comfort them as they endeavor to serve the interest of his kingdom and the souls of men in this world. These words of instruction and their primary application were given to the apostles of our Lord. However, they are equally applicable to every gospel preacher in this world today. And they are just as properly applied to each and every one of us who seek to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in our day-by-day lives. We are, all who believe, God's servants in one way or another. Each and every one of us are a member of Christ, whether it be a finger, a toe, a foot, an arm, an eye, a nose, whatever that member might be that the Lord has you in, if you're one of his, you are a member of Christ. Christ being the head. To the selfish and unbelieving who care for nothing but their own ease and comfort, these verses of Scripture are meaningless. But to you who serve God and the souls of men, they will be of great interest. To serve God and to do good to men's souls in this world is hard work. You see, Satan fights to maintain his kingdom. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking those that he may devour. The hearts of men are far more wicked than any of us can imagine. And our Lord Jesus knows this. Therefore, he takes great care when he sends us out to do his service, to supply us with the instructive and encouraging words that we might be prepared for the trials, the temptations, and the troubles that we must face in this world. End of Don's quote. So let's begin reading, shall we, at verse 16. And let's read through verse 23. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given to you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now there are 10 lessons that we want to look at between verse 16 and the end of this chapter, verse 42. And we're going to take each Sunday for the next 10 weeks and look at a message each Sunday. This morning our message is between 16 and 23. In verse 16 our Lord says, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of the wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Folks, we must be modest in our expectations. One of the things that my mother has told me several times, and I need to be told quite often, because especially as the longer I go along and know who the Lord is, we cannot expect people who don't know the Lord to act like they do. Think about that for a minute. I have a difficult time with this thought. As I've shared with you before, I was a very stern employer. manager for the company I worked for. Now that I'm working for FedEx and I'm not a manager anymore, those who worked for me at one time are free to share with me how much, you know, their thoughts of my management experience was. And they all liked me, and they all thought I did a good job. I was just, if I could say, a hard ass. I expect people to work like I do. When I go out to do a job, I put everything I have into it. That's just the way I am. That's who makes us to differ. You know, I'm blessed that my son and my grandson do the same thing. I'm blessed that my granddaughter is that way. But who makes us to differ? Absolutely. And so, in doing so, I could be a very harsh person. It was very quick for me to say, okay, you don't want to do that? Take it away from him. I'll give it to somebody else. You just go home. I don't need you anymore today. That's a pretty harsh way to do that. When it comes to preaching the Word of God, when it comes to sharing the love of God with others, a harsh hand. Ooh, you better do this. People don't want to listen to that. We want to be sure that people know the truth. But we want to be sure that they know it in love. We share the gospel with those that we love. We want them to come to the Lord as we did, in love. We want our Lord to love them as He has loved us. That's the whole purpose of sharing the gospel, isn't it? That's how our God calls His people out of darkness. By hearing the truth of the gospel. The love of God that He has for His people. A perfect. A love that is effectual. Not some love that is put out there as a dangling present that is offered to somebody, but a love that works. A love that is for sure. There will be no empty seats in heaven. If we are to serve God, if our object is the glory of God, then we must not make success our goal. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what that means? That means that we don't go out and say, okay, well, this is my only goal, to talk to this guy and save him today. Because we don't do the saving, do we?
No.
No. We declare who it is that does the saving. The next verse tells us that we should beware of men, that we are as sheep in the midst of wolves. If you set your heart to serve God, you must make up your mind that you will be hated, abused, misunderstood, slandered, and persecuted of men. Even your nearest relations will oppose you if they do not know God. I've been told by a very loved one that I will never be heard in their home again. Does that hurt? Yeah, it hurts a lot. Especially because this loved one claims to be a child of God. What is it that I preach that offends this person? I preach the sovereignty of God. I declare God as Jesus Christ as God Almighty in the flesh, and that He came here to do a purpose, and that His purpose was accomplished. Why is it that that offends this loved one? Even your nearest relations will oppose you if they do not know God. Whether you preach or teach or visit or pass out tracts or write or give witness to others, whatever it is you do for Christ, you must expect nothing from the world but opposition. Many who once seemed full of zeal have turned back because they had an extravagant expectation of what it would be like to be a Christian leader. Many have taken in Satan's snare of success. Oh, if I could just be a preacher of a church, I'd have a big old huge church. We have thousands of people coming in. We get a big old band. Yeah. Revival. I'm happy with just who's here today.
Yeah.
you have your bulletin with you? In our bulletin, you'll see an article written by Drew Dietz, and he's titled his article, Who? And he writes, my usual practice is to go to the church building on Saturday and set out the bulletins, walk around and look at the empty building, make sure the nursery is clean, pick up any papers left in the assembly area, and so forth. It always gets me. It's a little depressing to think about all the years we've been meeting, yet how so few actually come. It saddens me to think of various people who have come for a while and then, for one reason or another, quit because the gospel is too narrow or didn't fit their systems. But then I remember that our Lord had nowhere to lay his head. And I recall the fact that tomorrow, by his grace, this very place will be the site of the preaching and believing of his sovereign mercy. There are some of God's sheep here, and for that reason, I would not want to be at any other location. Brother Jack Shanks told him once that when he got discouraged about such things, he would look out at the few gathered and ask, who hath believed our report? And he would see that you have believed this report. Yes, you who faithfully come week in and week out, you who support this very work with your offerings, your love, and your generosity. Folks, let us cherish these times, for we are truly blessed of our God to meet once more in his suitable, adoring, and wonderful name. As I mentioned before, a moment ago, where two or more are gathered in his name, he's in the midst. That's his promise. And our Lord keeps his promises, doesn't he, Donna? Yes. Many who once seemed full of zeal and have turned back because they had an extravagant expectation, and many have taken Satan's snare of success and have compromised the gospel to get it. Our only ambition ought to be the glory of God. This is why the gospel is the only thing that will be preached from this pulpit as long as God gives me the breath to speak. For there is nothing that gives God more glory than Jesus Christ and him crucified for his people. That's the gospel message that must be preached. That's the saving message that must be preached. Our only duty is the will of God. Our only guide is the word of God. The only success that we should desire is the approval of God. We must endure the hatred and the opposition of men throughout the days of our lives. As we read in verse 22, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And we know our Savior will not forsake his people, neither can any separate us from his love. God's chosen people will endure. They will see the end of their travail and be as Christ, satisfied. Nevertheless, dear Lord, as I go through this world in this flesh, thy will be done. Next, you'll notice it says, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. This simply means that we must pray for God to give us wisdom, to give us good sense, a sound mind, and a sincerity of heart. The word harmless means simple. We are to be simple, honest, sincere as God's servants. Yet we must have wisdom and good sense. We must never seek to avoid persecution by cowardice, compromise, or intimidation. The Lord allows his servants to flee from one city to another, but he does not allow us to hold our tongues. Yet we must never foolishly court persecution by being obnoxious. Don't go out looking for somebody to persecute you. Don't go starting a fight with somebody else. We should never court persecution by being obnoxious, arrogant, or even out of order and place. There is a proper time and a place for witnessing and bearing testimony to the gospel, but there are also times when it is out of place to do so. When someone is paying you to work for them, it is evil, not spiritual, to rob him of the labor for which he is being, for which you are being paid to discuss religious matters with your co-workers. To state the matter simply, our God does not require us to throw out common sense when we are engaged to do his will. The offense of the cross we must bear, but we are not to be offensive, so let us strive to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, as it says in Ephesians 5:15. Let's take a close look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? So that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Our wisdom is Christ. Our wisdom is in Christ. It is of him, it is about him, and it is from him. We do not need to be all wise in all scriptures as some think that they are. We can only share what we know. But we know this. We know that our Lord has made the promise, all things are for our good. We know this, that our Lord has made the promise, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. We know this. I was once blind, and now I see. Don't we? See how easy that is? May God give us all the grace and the wisdom to stand before those that we come across the paths of in this world and say that very same thing. I know this. Once I was blind, and the Lord gave me sight. Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief, and God cannot fail. None can pluck them from my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Amen. Stand.